At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Colmena Seguros presenta una historia imparable.
Cuando uno de mis trabajadores sufrió un accidente en la empresa, sentí miedo. Pensaba en él, en su familia y en todo lo que podía pasar. Pero la verdad, ese miedo duró poco, porque Colmena Seguros estuvo a nuestro lado, guiándonos y acompañándonos para que la recuperación fuera más rápida. Hoy mi empresa sigue adelante, con la tranquilidad y respaldo de Colmena.
Colmena Seguros, la aseguradora de las empresas que no paran de salir adelante.
Vigilado Superintendencia Financiera de Colombia. Colmena Seguros, una empresa de Fundación Grupo Social.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, this is Darcio Gondagas, CEO of Real Media, and today it's one of my favorite topics, distribution when it comes to podcast. What is better, YouTube distribution or over audio platform where you can hear your podcast? Let's listen to my robots, Robert and Jane, and we will explain exactly and give you stats and why audio podcast for me can go way further than just YouTube views. Let's listen to them. Thank you.
Welcome to The Debate. Today we're diving into a really crucial question that creators and brands alike are wrestling with in 2025.
Yeah, it's definitely top of mind.
Exactly. So the question is this: in today's dynamic content landscape, should aspiring podcasters prioritize establishing a visual presence, even if it's minimal, right from the outset to effectively build and monetize their audience? Or does the core path to success, and importantly, sponsor return on investment or ROI, remain primarily rooted in, you know, good old audio-focused distribution?
And this whole debate really springs from our recent analyses we're seeing around content consumption, different monetization strategies, and where sponsors are putting their money in the podcasting world.
Right. And my position today is that the enduring primacy and, frankly, the proven ROI of audio distribution are still paramount. That's where the real value lies.
And I'll be arguing for the strategic necessity of having some kind of initial visual component, specifically for effective audience building and, importantly, diversified monetization, particularly when you're just starting out as a new creator.
Okay. Well, from my perspective, podcast audio distribution absolutely offers a superior return on investment for sponsors. And this is primarily because of the uniquely intimate and focused nature of the listening experience itself. Listeners, they provide really dedicated attention to podcast ads, which sets them worlds apart from, say, many video pre-rolls. And this leads directly to higher ad recall and purchase intent. I mean, there are even studies on attentional residue, suggesting that the focused nature of audio-only consumption, it leads to a higher transfer of trust from the host to the advertiser. It makes those personal referrals feel even more potent than just a fleeting visual impression.
Okay.
So when a host reads an advertisement, it fosters this unique sense of trust. It really does feel like a personal referral from a friend. And this intimacy, this allows these host-read ads to command significantly higher CPMs, that's cost per mil, cost per thousand listens, typically in the range of, say, $25 to $40.
Yeah, that's high.
It is. Compare that to the single-digit CPMs you often see with YouTube ads. Yet, even with that higher cost, the conversion rates are stronger, which clearly balances out the equation for the sponsor. And monetization through audio isn't just effective, it's highly trackable. Sponsors can easily use promo codes, custom links, dedicated landing pages, all to prove their ROI, their return on investment. Plus, look at the significant reach of top audio-only podcasts. You've got the Joe Rogan Experience with up to, 11 million listeners, Crime Junkie reaching around 8 million monthly, The Daily getting 1 to 2 million plus downloads per weekday.
Those are big numbers.
Huge numbers. This American Life, Call Her Daddy, millions per episode, it demonstrates pretty conclusively that success and listener intimacy can thrive independently of video. It proves the strength is in the narrative and the connection itself. Look, the podcast advertising market has blown past $2 billion globally. It's growing at double-digit rates year over year. That's a clear signal. Audio-first distribution isn't just robust, it's seriously profitable.
Okay, I see why you think that. And look, audio strengths for established shows are, well, undeniable. But I come at it from a different angle, especially thinking about new creators. I am convinced that an initial visual component is no longer just a nice to have. It's an absolute necessity for new creators to effectively build, distribute, and monetize their podcast audience, even if it doesn't involve some super costly studio.
Necessity?
Yeah, I think so. Aspiring podcasters, they're simply not required to invest, you know, $7,000 to $8,000 in a fully equipped studio right off the bat. Starting with a quality external webcam, something like the Logitech 4K Brio, and a simple ring light, that provides the minimum of quality you need for 2024 and beyond. And this approach is critical because video content is just absolutely crucial for content repurposing. It lets creators generate short-form vertical videos, think Instagram Reels, TikToks, YouTube Shorts, for social media platforms. That expands discoverability and engagement massively. We're seeing this kind of emerging hybrid consumption model where listeners discover a podcast visually, maybe on TikTok or YouTube, then they migrate to the audio for the full intimate experience. So the visual isn't replacing audio, it's becoming the new front door.
Interesting framing.
Right, and leveraging existing video platforms like YouTube, especially with its dedicated YouTube podcast feature, which actually helps surface audio-first content to new viewers within YouTube's huge search and recommendation system, it allows creators to tap into an existing audience. You don't have to start completely from scratch. Even if you only have, I don't know, 700 subscribers, 400, maybe just 218, you can build on that. And monetization strategies, from this perspective, they extend way beyond just direct ad sales. They're significantly enhanced by having a broader digital and visual presence. We're talking about establishing a website, selling merchandise, engaging in affiliate marketing, hosting virtual events or webinars, building community or membership sites with paywalls for exclusive content, maybe mini masterclasses. Lastly, current content consumption habits, especially post-COVID, they demand increased frequency.
Is typically putting out 2, maybe 3 episodes per week now. That pace is much more efficiently supported by having a streamlined video setup for both creation and that crucial repurposing.
Okay, I appreciate your emphasis on discoverability through YouTube and social media. But let's consider if that broad reach really translates into the kind of actionable engagement that justifies sponsor investment. Or is it primarily just for general brand awareness? While YouTube certainly offers vast scale for discovery, I still maintain that podcast audio provides this unparalleled intimacy and action. That unique, direct-to-ear connection fosters a deep listener-host relationship, leading to highly focused attention and, crucially, higher conversion rates for advertisers. My concern is that focusing heavily on general views for brand awareness, while it has its place, maybe it dilutes the core strength of podcasting when direct action and measurable results are the primary goal for many sponsors. So do you really believe this initial visual discovery truly cultivates the dedicated long-form listening habit that defines true podcasting engagement? Or are they perhaps more akin to just fleeting impressions?
That's a valid question, but I simply don't buy that the fleeting impression is the end game here, advocate. In today's saturated content market, initial visual discovery through platforms like YouTube and, you know, social media video clips is a critical first step for a new podcast to even build an audience in the first place. You can have the most intimate audio experience in the world, but if nobody knows it exists, well, it won't be found. I often tell new creators to think of it like fishing. You can have the absolute best bait, that's your audio content, but if you only cast your line in one small pond, say the audio directories, you're missing out on a vast ocean of potential listeners on platforms where visuals grab attention first. The visual component allows content to be repurposed, right? To put it on all the social media platforms, attracting listeners who then can transition to that intimate audio experience you're describing. Without this initial visibility, even the most intimate audio might struggle, really struggle to find its audience, no matter how effective its ads eventually are once someone does hear them. You just can't convert someone who doesn't even know you're there.
I'd acknowledge the role of discoverability, particularly for new entrants. That's fair. But let's circle back to a fundamental truth here. At its heart, a podcast is audio. Its unique advantage lies in its, well, its profound accessibility and the almost sacred space it occupies in a listener's day. People can listen to you while they work out, while they travel, during their commute. They don't need to sit and physically look at their phone.
Sure, the convenience factor.
It's more than convenience, though. Think about it. When you're deeply engrossed in a story, maybe on your commute or during a run, you're not multitasking with visuals in the same way. Your mind is fully immersed in the audio. That's a unique, almost sacred space for advertisers, right? A moment of undivided attention that's just increasingly rare in our visually saturated world. This cross-platform, on-the-go accessibility across dedicated podcast directories, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, even car dashboards, that's the intrinsic power of audio. It supports its evergreen impact too, meaning episodes can deliver impressions for months, maybe even years after release. It reaches a broad and consistently engaged audience without the necessity of a visual accompaniment.
Okay, that's a compelling argument for the power of audio, and I agree with the core sentiment about audio's convenience and intimacy. But have you considered that the modern podcast landscape, well, it almost mandates a multi-format approach for creators now, especially those just starting out. While audio is undeniably primary and offers that fantastic freedom of consumption, the reality is you can strategically augment your audio show with a video component. It doesn't have to be a full production. You can capture some video just to create those short-form vertical clips for social media.
Augments, okay.
Exactly. This strategy isn't about replacing audio. It's about diversifying your distribution to meet varied consumer habits. We know post-COVID, content consumption habits demand increased frequency and options. People consume content in so many different ways now. Sometimes they want to watch, sometimes they just want to listen. A multi-format approach just ensures the content reaches audiences wherever they happen to be and however they prefer to consume it. And that's just vital for initial growth and sustainability in what is, let's face it, a very crowded market.
My focus, though, for creators, especially those looking for a clear path to revenue, remains firmly on the established and growing ecosystem of direct response podcast advertising. This offers a clear, proven path to revenue via sponsor relationships. The higher CPMs we talked about, $25 to $40 for host reads, coupled with effective tracking through promo codes and custom links, it clearly demonstrates that audio-centric monetization is both robust and lucrative without requiring the additional complexities or, frankly, the costs of extensive video production. This established model provides a predictable and significant revenue stream. It's demonstrably profitable, as shown by the industry's rapid growth past $2 billion globally. This allows creators to build sustainable businesses based on that core audio strength.
While I absolutely respect the power of direct ad sales for established shows, advocate, my concern for new creators is that waiting for that scale, waiting to hit those big download numbers, it leaves a significant early monetization gap. How do they bridge that gap without diversifying their revenue streams right from day one?
Well, they focus on growth first.
But I believe a visual presence significantly enhances a creator's ability to build a comprehensive, diversified monetization ecosystem much earlier in their journey. We're talking about strategies like, you know, selling merchandise, leveraging affiliate marketing, promoting virtual events like webinars, creating membership sites with exclusive content or mini masterclasses. These avenues often rely on having a broader digital footprint and direct engagement, which is fostered at least partly by that initial visual content, even if it's simple. These strategies allow creators to potentially monetize their podcast content in the first month or two, rather than waiting possibly for years to build the massive audience numbers typically required to attract those traditional ad sponsors. It's really about empowering the creator with multiple revenue streams much earlier in their journey, rather than relying on a single, often difficult to achieve one.
Okay, so in summarizing my position, for sponsors and for creators aiming for that demonstrable ROI, the deep listener intimacy, the focused attention, and the direct trackability offered by podcast audio distribution, they remain unparalleled.
The evidence from industry growth, higher ad recall, and dedicated listener engagement confirms audio's enduring power as a primary medium for impactful messaging and, importantly, reliable revenue generation. It's really about cultivating a relationship that leads to clear action.
And my conclusion is that for new creators looking to build an audience and diversify their income streams in today's dynamic content environment, establishing even a basic visual presence right from the start is, I believe, a strategic necessity. This approach facilitates broader discoverability through social media repurposing, it taps into an existing audience base on platforms like YouTube, and it leads to a more robust, creator-centric monetization ecosystem. This ultimately supports the sustained growth of their podcast. It's really about casting a wider net initially to bring those listeners eventually into your intimate audio experience.
It seems clear that the best strategy isn't necessarily either or. There are certainly strong, compelling arguments for both approaches, really depending on one's immediate goals and perhaps their starting point.
Exactly. Ultimately, this discussion really underscores different priorities, doesn't it? Are you primarily focused on sponsor ROI and the deep engagement of an audience you've already acquired, or are you focused on achieving that initial creator success and building a diversified income stream right from the outset?
Right. And the overarching question for our listeners remains whether they ultimately value views and broad discoverability more, or if they value deep, actionable engagement more when they're assessing their own content strategy. We hope this debate has offered a deeper understanding of the complex considerations in podcasting today.
And encourages everyone to further explore the strategic choices involved in both content creation and consumption. There's definitely a lot to think about.
Wow, ladies and gentlemen, it was so powerful. If you want more information about our services, go to reformationleadership.com, book a session, get one of our courses, or invite us to speak to one of your events. Thank you so much. See you next time.
Colmena Seguros presenta una historia imparable.
Cuando uno de mis trabajadores sufrió un accidente en la empresa, sentí miedo. Pensaba en él, en su familia y en todo lo que podía pasar. Pero la verdad, ese miedo duró poco, porque Colmena Seguros estuvo a nuestro lado, guiándonos y acompañándonos para que la recuperación fuera más rápida. Hoy mi empresa sigue adelante, con la tranquilidad y respaldo de Colmena.
Colmena Seguros, la aseguradora de las empresas que no paran de salir adelante.
Vigilado Superintendencia Financiera de Colombia. Colmena Seguros, una empresa de Fundación Grupo Social.